This is Doug Miller. Have you ever been locked up, confined, in prison? How did it make you feel? Kind of cramp your style a little bit? Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand. And we are in the 12th chapter of Acts, and we are seeing persecution against the church and a real attempt of the enemy to wipe out the work that had begun. And surprise, or really no surprise, it doesn't work. What God begins, he will cause to flourish. Bring your Bibles. Come along. Let's look into the 12th chapter of Acts together. And call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that has one goal in life and one goal alone, one reason for existing. That's to see this word go out as simply, as clearly as we can put it out there, as far as we can get it out there, to as many as we can reach, with the sure and certain belief and confidence that God will always honor his word, that it will do that which he sends it to do. It will accomplish that which he pleases, and the Holy Spirit will use it to change lives, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, once again, open up 12th chapter of Acts. Now, as a faith ministry, we are utterly dependent on our listeners. Pray for us, please. Pray for us. I cannot tell you how much we need your prayers. And your encouragement and your word of mouth advertising, and you're just listening. Just tune us in and listen. We very much need this, and we would always love to hear from you. The encouragement of hearing from our listeners is something I cannot tell you how important that is to us. Because frankly, a lot of times you're talking into this mic, I don't see who I'm talking to out there. I don't know who's listening. And it's just a great encouragement to hear from our listeners. If it's no more than right on, brother, we are here. Keep it up. Write to us, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Or if you want to email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We will respond to emails. If you wish to just pull up our webpage and look at it, it's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. You can listen to the broadcasts there or read about Dialogue or whatever. Or you can call me, 405-568-5048. That's 405-568-5048. Now, let me tell you about this telephone business. This is something that periodically, you're not going to get me on the phone. You'll get a recording that says leave a message, and I'll pull it up from time to time and read the message and listen to it, and I'll call you back. But don't sit there waiting with bated breath for my phone call. I'm a little bit inefficient in that way. All right. 12th chapter of Acts, we have got the church has been under persecution all along. Satan has got a way, he's got his people out there, and he is not going to stand idly by while the Lord Jesus Christ is honored and glorified. That's not in his game plan. He will not do it. So what's he going to do? Well, He's a trickster, of course, and he's a liar, and he's a murderer. And he'll do whatever he thinks he can get away with to stop this work and nip it in the bud. Now, we've already seen the church under persecution. We saw last week, we talked about the persecution that started at the church in Jerusalem after the death of Stephen. We've seen Stephen stoned, murdered at the hands of religious zealots who thought they were doing God a favor. That's what the Lord Jesus said would happen, didn't he? And it has. And now we have the Apostle James killed by Herod with the sword. Now, this is interesting. This is not James, the brother of the Lord. This is James, the brother of John the Apostle. And you might remember how that James and John's mother brought them to the Lord. And I believe this is in the 20th chapter of Matthew that you can read of this. I may have that reference wrong. I'm doing it off the top of my head. And if you say, well, Miller, if you're going to give a reference out, don't you think you ought to check it out? Well, you're probably right. But that's just to keep you on your toes, maybe. So, but let's just go take a look at it. Let's see if I got it right. I said the 20th chapter, and that is exactly correct. So I got it right. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, you have the mother of James and John bringing James and John, her sons, to Jesus and saying, I want to ask a favor of you. And the Lord said, what do you want? And she said, grant that these my two sons sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, when you come in your kingdom. Now, she was thinking of the Messianic kingdom and the kingdom that will yet be established in Jerusalem with our Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of his father David, ruling and reigning. And the Lord Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. He said to James and John, can you drink of the cup I'm going to drink of? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? And they said, we are able. And he said, you will. You will drink of this cup and you will be baptized with this baptism. However, he said, to sit at my right hand or my left is not something that I can grant to you. My Father in heaven has prepared this place, and whoever he has prepared it for, that's who will sit there. Well, what cup did the Lord Jesus drink? He was persecuted and he was killed. And here is the first of these individuals. This is the first of the 12 apostles actually murdered for the sake of the Lord Jesus and for his testimony. He's the first. And indeed, he is going down into death because of his testimony for Jesus, murdered with the sword, probably beheaded by Herod the king, a man who was wicked and vile and vicious. This is not Herod that was reigning at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of his descendants. And he has killed James with the sword. And you might ask yourself, you know, why would the Lord allow this? Why would the Lord allow this kind of persecution? Well, let me ask you this. Why would God the Father allow his Son to die at the hands of wicked, evil sinners? You may be assured that there was a reason for it and that God was glorified by it. And as for James, he said, I can drink of the cup, and the Lord said, you will. And here he is drinking of the cup. I don't know what his brother John thought about this. The book doesn't tell us. But I know that the believers had to have been grieved to see this man with whom they were so close taken away. And taken away for what? Because he had done evil? Oh, no. No. Taken away because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where we are yet in our in history. I don't know what we have going on or what's going to happen, but I do know this. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, says, "Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." I know that the enemy hates us as much now as he ever did back then. I know that he despises the name of the Lord Jesus. I know that Christians are under persecution and are being murdered and killed because of the Lord Jesus right now, even as I speak in some places in the world. And I know that we in this country have so far had a pretty cushy existence when it comes to this kind of stuff. But I do not believe that this cushy existence we are living can go on for much longer. I see a time coming and coming, I think, in the near future, in which the saints, even in this country, are going to have to testify with their blood. I don't know when or where this is going to happen, but I am telling you right now that there are forces afoot in this world right now who will do what they can to wipe out the name of the Lord Jesus. And they hate him, and they hate those of us who are his followers, particularly those of us who are called fundamentalists, who are preaching and teaching the truth of this Bible. If you wish to follow the Lord Jesus, you have got to be ready for everything that that entails, and that might mean persecution, even to the point of death. Well, let's go on. Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, and so he laid hands on Peter. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was at hand. It was close. And he locks up Peter in the prison and delivers him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after the Passover, Pascha. It says after Easter in the King James, but it's Pascha in the Greek, the Passover, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, there are a lot of ways of being in prison. There are a lot of ways of being persecuted. And in this case, we are looking at Peter was actually put in jail. And Herod is going to kill him. There's no doubt about it. He's already killed James. And he certainly wouldn't hesitate to kill Peter. In fact, he saw that killing James, boy, that pleased all of the adversaries of the church. Hey, why not make myself real popular? I'll just kill Peter, too, because Peter, of course, was a kingpin. He was at the very center of everything going on in the assembly in Jerusalem. I'll just kill him, too. Not at the Passover, however. You remember, back at the Passover, that's when Jesus, our Lord Jesus, was crucified. And even then, the Jews said, it's unlawful for us to put a man to death. That's why they got the Romans to do it. Well, the Romans are not going to kill Peter. And these Jews are not going to get involved at this time in killing Peter, because it will, it would defile them for the Feast of the Passover. So after Passover, Peter is done for, and he is locked up in prison. Now listen to me, all of you out there. There are a lot of ways of being in prison. You might be in a situation right now where you feel all but imprisoned. You may have been doing some work for the Lord. Maybe it seems that every turn you take, you hit a blank wall. Maybe it seems that the Lord is not listening to you at all. Maybe it seems to you that the Lord has got you bound and shackled. And maybe it seems to you that there is defeat lying all around you. Maybe you even get down and pray sometimes and say, "Lord, don't you hear me at all? Aren't you aware of what's going on here?" Let me tell you something. The Lord is very well aware of what's going on. He knows exactly where you are. And here is a situation in which Peter is in prison, but the church is praying for him. Well, you might say, what else could they do? Indeed, good question. What else could they do? They couldn't go in and break him out. They couldn't take up arms. They couldn't, there were none of them who had any kind of influence over King Herod whatsoever. So what can they do? They can pray for him, and that's all they can do. And I am telling you, this guy Herod, his days are numbered. He just doesn't know it. By the time we get to the end of this chapter, he is going to be dead. But right now, he doesn't know that. He really imagines that he is in charge. Listen to me, all of you rulers out there in the secular world. All of you people who are groping and struggling and scraping and doing whatever you can to get power. There is no power at all apart from the Lord. Remember the Lord Jesus standing before Pilate. Pilate saying, "You won't speak to me? Don't you know I have the power to crucify you or let you go?" The Lord said, "You have no power at all. You haven't got anything in your hand. You're an empty-handed beggar. And my Father alone is the one who has power. And he is the one who has granted you such power as you have." Now this man, Herod, has no power at all. And the church, they are really the ones with power. And boy, they are praying. And they are doing not only the only thing they can do, but they are doing exactly what they ought to be doing. Even if they could get in there and break Peter out. That's not the way to do it. You go to God and to the one, even our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "All power, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." Therefore, you cry out to God. Peter is locked up. I don't know what he's thinking, but there he is, locked up, and the church calling out to God for him and on his behalf. Verse 6, when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now this guy, Peter, is in, it would seem, something of a mess, isn't he? Not only is he locked behind a locked door in a prison cell, but there are two soldiers in there with him, and he is chained to the two of them, and outside the prison cell are standing two other guards, and or it doesn't say two guards, just the keepers. There's more than one of them. They're keeping the prison. And, boy, if there is anything that would make me think, you know, Peter's secure, he's not going anywhere. And yet the church was praying, and God was listening, and God is acting. Now you listen to me carefully, friend, whoever you are or whatever you are. If you are even now, as I speak, in some sort of figurative prison, if you are in a real prison because you have been convicted of a crime, and some of you may be listening to me, I get letters now and then from prisoners who are out there in jail. If you are there because you've been convicted of a crime, then you're going to serve your time, probably. If you are there and you are saying, "Well, I've been convicted, but I really was innocent, I was framed," well, I don't know what to say about that other than cry out to the Lord. But if you are, figuratively speaking, in prison, locked up in some kind of chains or straitjacket, and you have no freedom of movement, remember this, the devil is going to do his best to keep you in that situation, but he has no power at all. You are able to cry out to God your Father, and my advice to you is you pray and you wait. You pray and you wait. You abide under. You abide exactly where you are. I would not advise any of you to get busy trying to straighten the mess out for yourself. You will only make it worse. You cry out to God and let him bring you forth. Because look at this. I mean, there's nothing Peter could do. But the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Then the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Now a lady, we were looking at this passage one time, a group of believers that I was with, and this lady in the group said, notice the concern that this angel has for Peter, even to the point of saying, put your shoes on, put a cloak about you. He didn't just take him out of there. He was concerned about his welfare to the point of seeing to it that he was properly clothed. Maybe it was cold outside. I don't know. This is in the Passover season. It kind of gets a little chilly there. But this angel is very concerned about Peter's welfare. And his chains are off. And there lay the keepers. They've still got the chains on them, but they are attached to nothing. And the keepers are outside. They might as well be 1,000 miles away. They couldn't hold Peter in here if they wanted to. And he did. He went out and followed him. And he, Peter himself, did not know that this thing was true. He thought he was seeing some kind of vision. Well, he saw a vision earlier. We saw that, didn't we, back in the 10th chapter of Acts, when he went to Joppa to talk to Cornelius. So, seeing visions was not something new to Peter. He, thought he was seeing things. He didn't know this was really happening. And he's moving about, and he followed him out. And when he was, when they were past the first and second ward, or the first or second prison, phulakein is the Greek, they came under the iron gate, which leads under the city, and it opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And here he is outside. He's outside now, and he says, I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people and of the Jews. Now, this man, Peter, he is going to be murdered later on. He is going to become a martyr. We know indeed, because of what he wrote in his second letter, and because of what the Lord Jesus said to him in the 21st chapter of John, we know indeed that this man, as well as James, was going to be martyred. And he was going to suffer death because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus. But his time to do that is not yet. God has other plans for him. And Peter is once again, he is delivered out of prison by the Lord. Now, we are at the end of the broadcast, and I want to emphasize to you once again, I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know what you may be into. You may be living through great and terrible discouragement right now. You may be in physical pain. You might be in financial difficulties. If you are a believer, you need to cry out to the Lord and not start meddling. Give God a chance. Let him show you what he can do. Let him deliver you out of the situation that you are in. It will be wonderful for your faith to see the hand of God in your life. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.